Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's message is a particularly important one. Would you read together with me the title from the screen? Wounded Men. We find our text in John 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." I especially encourage you today on this Father's Day to turn to your handout given to you, follow the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Wounded Men. So I have a question for you this morning. Here's the question. Where are the men? Well, thank you, Herb. I guess the sermon's over. I'll just stick. I tell you, this is what happens when Herb has peach schnapps before worship. Where are the men? This is a question that we're hearing more and more in our society, in the church, in the home. Too many men today seem to be abandoning or surrendering their traditional leadership roles that have characterized us in the past. And the sad results are seen all around us in the home, in our land. The purpose of this sermon on Father's Day is to look at the reasons for the leadership absence of men and see what God's Word has to say for a solution to that. When we look around and see the male leadership vacuum, often it's due to one big factor. Look at your outline. The one big factor is this. Many men, please listen to this message today. Many men are wounded and are unable to deal with their woundedness. Women, please note, there is a wound in the masculine soul that leads men to insecurity. And this wound has many causes. The realization that he will never be all that he dreamed he would be. The realization that he's made some mistakes in his marriage. The disappointment that he's not able to provide for his family the way he hoped to. The anxiety that his children are not turning out the way he wants them to. The sinking awareness that he's a step slower. His hair is graying. And he doesn't have the energy that he used to. Men, the problem is not the wounding. The problem is how we respond to these wounds that come because we live in a sinful world. Various factors contribute to how we respond to the wounding. Look at your sermon outline. First of all, our upbringing. If we've been raised with the notion that real men don't cry, we are led to think we have to snuff out our feelings, bury our pains, and deny our hurts. One result is that men can become walking emotional volcanoes with periodic explosions of anger. And so very often men, our explosions of anger are just a mask for our pain. We somehow feel men, let's get honest with ourselves, men, we often feel it's more manly to show anger than it is to shed healthy tears. Another factor that contributes to the wounding of a man can be seen in the lack of male support systems. Women are so much smarter than men. Can I say that again? Herb, you be quiet now. Women are so much smarter than men. Unlike women, most men have not developed the needed support systems. They need like one close friend with whom you can bare your heart and soul and share anything. Lacking such support, men can feel lonely, can feel a sense of powerlessness, can feel and respond with the one emotion they feel safe in expressing when they're hurting, and that's the expression of anger. Yes, today we're talking to wounded men. If you are a man here this morning, would you raise your hand? If you are a man, Tong, are you joining our club? If you are a man, you are a wounded man. And there are destructive ways that men try to deal with their woundedness. They're listed on your outline. Let's look at the first. One destructive way that men deal with their woundedness is to lose themselves in work. A man can spend hours and hours on the job. He can make his workplace a place he goes to avoid dealing with his wife and his family. He defines himself by what he does. And one problem with defining myself with what I do is this. When my work is going good, I think I'm good. If my work isn't going so well, I think I'm not worth much of anything and not much of a man. Or let's up the ante. If I have retired and my work defined me my whole life through, well, now who am I? Point number two, some men may not be losing themselves in work, but they can fail so easily, fall to the prey of addiction. Such addictions may include alcohol and drugs, sports, television, unhealthy use of the computer, anything they think can be used to escape the pain of chronic woundedness. Look at our next point. Some men turn away from their wives and turn to having an affair or an improper relationship with another woman. To quote a popular song from 30 years ago, too many men are looking for love in all the wrong places. And fourthly, some men try to cope with their woundedness or feelings of powerlessness by wielding improper power at home or at work. The results of this can include emotional or physical abuse of their wife, children, or co-workers. Now remember again, men often exhibit anger as a substitute for the real emotion they're feeling, pain or fear. Now all that we've talked about so far is proof that we live in a sinful, fallen world. Wounded men are wounded because of the real effects of sin in our world. And what does God's word have to say to wounded men? And by the way, if for any reason you have left this sermon earlier, now is the time to hear God's word. What does God's word say to all of us wounded men? This message is as important to men as it is to women, as to all of us as well. A way out of the wounded wilderness can be seen in the life of the Apostle Peter, the disciple of Jesus. We meet Peter in today's John 21 sermon text. He's a wounded man. What do you remember about Peter? All through the gospel accounts, Peter is known as one who opens his mouth and inserts his foot. That's a North American or English way of saying he says something, makes a promise, completely messes it up, and is sorry he ever said anything in the first place. He makes promises he can't keep. Here's one example. Peter said to Jesus, Lord Jesus, if everybody deserts you, I will never desert you. I will die for you. But we know that not long afterward, the night before his crucifixion, Peter did not deny Jesus once or twice, but three times. And Peter's world collapsed around him when Jesus, his Savior, died on the cross. Now, Peter, what could have been his choices? He could have lost himself in his job and gone back to fishing. He could have lost himself in a wine bottle. Or he could have taken Judas's path to suicide. But in John's Gospel 21, we find three things that help Peter. And they will help all men. Now especially, look at your sermon outline. First, Peter gets reconnected. John 21, 1 to 2 says this. After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were gathered together. Notice Peter. Peter is listed first. Peter did not withdraw from the other disciples. He gathered with the disciples as a wounded man, and they shared their wounds. Remember, all of these disciples abandoned Jesus. But at their gathering of wounded men, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, victorious over sin and death and the devil, showed himself to them. He went there on that beach to love them, to forgive them, to strengthen them, to heal their woundedness. Men, are you listening this morning? We need to dispel the myth of the so-called Lone Ranger. The idea that as a man, we can go it alone. We don't need anybody's help. We don't need anybody else. My friends, we need Christian friends. We need the fellowship and support of other godly men. We need the fellowship of the church. We need to gather in this place where the resurrected Jesus will come to us as he came to these early wounded disciples to forgive us, to strengthen us, to pledge his love and support for us. My friends, our Lord comes where wounded men are gathered. In my life, one example of this is our Tuesday morning men's group. From 7 to 8 a.m., all through the main 9 months of the church year, we gather at 7 a.m. for breakfast, Bible study, and for prayer. This group has become, for those of us who attend, not just a Bible study class, but a male support group, as we share things that only men want to share and be supported and befriended in this situation. If any of you men are interested in such a group, see me. We would love to welcome you there. Another example for me would be the Trinity Lutheran Church Board of Elders, who support me, who pray for me and Pastor Chung, as together we seek to encourage each other to care for the congregation God has given us. I thank God for my board of elders. They often are my lifeline. Well, look at your outline. First, Peter got reconnected with other men and his Lord. And then what happens? What's the next point? You tell me. Peter gets restored. As we read earlier in John 21, after breakfast with Jesus and the other disciples, Jesus takes Peter aside, away from all the other disciples. Maybe he takes him for a walk down the beach, just the two of them. And here is one of the most tender scenes in all of Holy Scripture. Jesus provides the healing for Peter's wounds. You recall that before the crucifixion, in fear of other people, Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three times. Now on this private walk on the beach, away from the other disciples, so as not to embarrass Peter, in John 21 you'll find it, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter embraces Jesus' healing words by saying, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Why did Jesus ask him three times? To completely cover up the three denials and to reconnect him and reestablish him and to forgive him fully. Men, it's time to swallow our foolish pride and to ask Jesus to heal our wounds. You know what your wounds are. Jesus invites you to come to him individually as he did Peter. And as you come to him, you can take a walk with him down the beach, so to speak, so he can restore you to himself. Another way to be restored to your Lord, imagine that, is to share a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever beverage you enjoy, with your pastor. And have a heart-to-heart talk with him or maybe another trusted Christian brother. Be assured that Jesus will be right there to fulfill his words, wherever two or three of mine are gathered, there I am in their midst. Peter was reconnected. He was restored. What's the last point? He was recommissioned. Restored, reconnected, restored, and recommissioned. Did you notice Jesus' earlier response to Peter's acceptance of healing? Jesus said to Peter, "Tend my lambs, feed my sheep." Jesus is recommissioning Peter, calling Peter to resume his leadership of the apostles and to assume the leadership of the new Christian church. You can read about Peter's mighty leadership in the New Testament book of Acts. Out of a broken, wounded man, Jesus created the fearless apostle and the leader of the new church. In fact, Peter's life was so changed by Jesus' time with him on the beach that when Peter was being executed because of his faith by the Roman government and Christians were being persecuted, Peter went to the emperor and said, "I do not deserve to die in the same way as my Lord." So Peter had himself crucified head down, the most horrible way to die. But to show that Jesus had been faithful to him all through life and would be faithful to him even to death and life everlasting. Today's message is a message that men, are we again, are we listening? It's a message that all men and all women need to hear. At the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, our sin and guilt has been paid for. Our death has been defeated. So in Jesus' name, I declare to each of you, wounded men and women as well, in Christ's name, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus is here today to heal your woundedness, to reconnect you to believers and to himself, to restore you by his gift of healing and forgiveness, to recommission you to be the leader he wants you to be in your home, in your church, and in the world. There's an old saying. I'm not sure who thought of it. The saying says this: real men don't eat quiche. Now, quiche is an egg dish with vegetables and meat. It's a wonderful... I eat quiche. Oh. But the saying says, real men don't eat quiche. What that means in the English language is this: men must always be tough. Men cannot be sensitive. Men can never admit that they're hurting or wounded. No! Men, fathers, now is the time to bring your wounds to Jesus, to receive his healing. Now is the time to build relationships with other godly men. Now is the time to be the men of God we need to be in our homes, in our work, in our society. Where are the wounded men? They are gathered at the cross, an empty tomb of Jesus, to receive from him his precious gift today of forgiveness and strength and healing. This Father's Day morning, as most of you men will come to receive the precious body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, your Lord will give to you these very gifts. Jesus exchanged Peter's wounds for real manhood. And he can do the same for you. In Jesus' name, happy Father's Day. Amen.